I assume like all you got to do is not eat meat. Why would I need help with that? I don't need a coach. I don't need a community. I don't need a course. I don't need a class. I don't need to read anything. Just don't eat chicken. Like, how hard could it be? Sis, it's a whole bunch of stuff you're not supposed to eat. There's a whole bunch of stuff you should be eating. There's a whole bunch of nuances you don't know and understand. And most importantly, though, you need support of a community of people who are doing the exact same thing instead of going back to your same environment where you're going to be triggered to eat the mess that you were used to eating, right? And so I would curate my environment so that I had the support of a community, ideally a coach, right? Maybe even at least get a course or something. The reason it took me so long to give up sugar into my vegan lifestyle is because I just thought as long as it was vegan, it was good to go. So I'm like, yeah, vegan cookies. Yeah, vegan carrot cake. I can drink soda, is vegan. Oh my God. Right? Like I'm already doing the thing, which is not eating animals. And so what more can anybody tell me? So much more. Just because someone can live with a disease doesn't mean they should. The overwhelming majority of prescriptions written today are written to treat lifestyle disease. Lifestyle disease is defined as conditions which can be attributed to the way in which a person lives. This includes things like physical activity, drinking, smoking, stress, the quality of our social connections, sleep, purposeful and professional alignment, and of course, our diet. But what if there was an alternative? What if before putting pen to pad, we had a comprehensive solution in lieu of pills and procedures? You are listening to the Plant Protocol Podcast for current and aspiring health professionals who are done with simply managing chronic lifestyle challenges and are interested in taking a whole food, plant-based approach to combating them. I'm your host, Lisa A. Smith. It's time to come get this health. If this was day one of my plant-based vegan journey, here's the four things I would do. Number one, learn the difference between fact and feeling. I have been a plant-based vegan for many, many years now, and not just been a plant-based vegan, y'all. I've been thriving as a plant-based vegan for about 8 or 9 years now, going on 10 years. And there are some very, very significant things that I would do totally different if today was day one of my plant-based lifestyle. And I'm about to share all of them with y'all right now. Y'all ready? The very first thing I would do is I would get blood work. Yep, it might sound crazy, but I would get blood work before I start. And I would plan ahead of time, roughly 90 days, 3 months out, to get blood work done again. Why? Because one of the biggest mistakes I personally made when I transitioned to a whole food plant-based vegan lifestyle is I just assumed I was going to be deficient in something. And I needed to learn the difference between fact and feeling, right? So when you schedule blood work, that means you are able to have facts, right? Like I can look at my blood panels. I can have a doctor dissect my blood work for me and tell me, am I truly deficient in something? Am I running a risk of being deficient in something, right? Are my levels low anywhere? I would make sure I got factual data before I ran out and got a protein supplement, a multivitamin, all of these supplements, thinking that I'm automatically going to be missing something because I'm not eating meat. That's one of the biggest mistakes people make when they make the transition to a plant-based diet is they assume that they were getting all of this sustenance from a plant-based diet and that as soon as they stop eating meat, eggs, seafood, dairy, that they are going to have like these loads of deficiencies. And so what do people do, y'all? They run out and they supplement like crazy with no data. So one of the things we teach our students at the Plant Protocol and inside of Farm to Table is the importance of making data-driven decisions. So I would shift my mindset from feeling to fact, because sometimes, you know, when you stop eating certain things that you really believe gives you all this sustenance, you might just feel like you will make up phantom feelings like, ugh, I'm not eating meat. I feel weak. Oh my God, I feel so low energy. That must mean I have a protein deficiency. Oh my God, that must mean I need a multivitamin. Oh my God, I used to get all these things from eggs and dairy. That must mean that I'm not getting them anymore. Let me run out and give somebody hundreds of dollars for supplements that have not even been verified or checked, or there's no oversight for, right? And so if today was day one, of my plant-based lifestyle, the first thing I would do is, number one, get blood work so I know where I start. You know, a lot of people think that you don't automatically have deficiencies if you're eating animals. But what most people don't understand is even people who eat an animal-based diet, nearly all of them still have deficiencies. People think it's when you take the animals out of your diet that you get deficiency. Y'all ain't eating right, even though y'all still eating chicken and cheese. Let's be clear. Like, y'all have nutritional deficiencies still eating animal products. Why? Because you exclude so much of the plant kingdom. And when you exclude so much of the plant kingdom, that sets you up for nutritional deficiencies. Why? Because all vitamins and minerals comes from plants, not animals. When you eat the animal, you're eating the middleman. And so even if you're eating an animal-based diet, but you're not intentional about eating enough plants and enough variety of plants, you probably are still at high risk for a deficiency if you don't have one already. Now, don't take it from me. Just go get your blood work done, okay? So if this was day one on my plant-based diet, the very first thing I would do was separate fact from feeling. Fact from feeling. I feel like I might be low and deficient in something, but I have no data to back it up. So I will go get the data, okay? And then I will plan that next scheduled blood work about 90 days out to get it drawn again after 3 months and eating no animal products. And then see, did I develop a deficiency in something? Did levels go up in something? Am I at risk of something? And now we could talk about whether or not I may or may not need to supplement. Because the only thing we can't get from a plant is B12. Okay. B12 is a microorganism that lives in the soil, but all of your other vitamins, all of your other minerals, all of your macronutrients, proteins, carbs, and fats, okay, all of your micronutrients, vitamins, and minerals actually comes from plants. And when we get them from animals, it's because the animals eat the plants. Yay. Right. Okay. So y'all write that down. All right. You do not have to have chicken or seafood or eggs in order to get some valuable sustenance. So that's the first thing I would do. Okay, let's get into the three other things that I would do if today was day one of my plant-based lifestyle. Number two is I would do a kitchen audit and I would start logging my food. Now, we ask our students to do both of these things inside of Farm to Table, our plant-based coaching program. And they love the kitchen audit and they hate food logging. And I don't care because I don't create processes for anybody convenience. I create them for results. Right. All you got to do when you work with me is surrender to the process. I didn't create it based on what I thought would make you comfortable. I create the process is based on what I know to work. All right. And so our students love kitchen audits. They hate food logging. It don't matter, though. It's none of my business. Right. Just do it. And I promise you it'll work. OK, so if this was day one of my plant-based journey, y'all, it is so dangerous to bring old habits into a new lifestyle. And so what most people do wrong is they typically try and make their plant-based lifestyle mimic their meat-based lifestyle. And one of the ways they do that is with all of this convenient processed food. So it is very, very likely that you can be vegan, identify as vegan, and be unhealthy. Not new news, right? Y'all knew that already, right? So you can actually be plant-based, be a vegan, and be totally unhealthy. Why? Because you brought your bad habits into a new lifestyle. So the way I would audit my kitchen is, first of all, going through and actually reading the labels on everything that I commonly use to know whether or not it is a clean item. Sometimes we make assumptions and we just say, long as there's no meat, long as there's no animal products in it, it's good to eat. And that is not true. So one of the mistakes I made when I first went plant-based is I literally just assumed that not eating animals was the only thing I needed to do. I assumed that as long as I wasn't eating meat, eggs, seafood, or dairy, that I was nailing the lifestyle. I thought the only requirement to live this lifestyle was to not eat animals. Boy, was I wrong. And so if this was day one for me, you know, I would audit everything in my kitchen to make sure that there is an absence of processed foods, that there's an absence of food dyes and preservatives and fillers, right? I would make sure there's an absence of sugar and excess oil and all of this sodium, right? Because if you come from an animal-based diet where you rely on convenient processed foods, your behavior is not going to change in a plant-based world. You're going to come over here trying to rely on convenient and processed foods. And although you're not eating animals, what you're essentially going to do is eat a bunch of vegan junk food. And so I will start deprogramming my brain like, okay, I don't need to just avoid animal products. I need to intentionally avoid all disease promoting foods. Cause you know, there are some disease promoting foods that are vegan. Y'all know that, right? Okay. So you can be eating vegan foods that are disease promoting. So just being vegan is not enough. Just being vegan doesn't mean you're going to be able to put that condition in remission. Just being vegan doesn't mean you're going to lose the weight. You have to intentionally be whole food, plant-based vegan. And there is a major difference. And so I would get rid of all of that frozen junk, even if it's vegan. I would get rid of all of those sweets and desserts, even if they're vegan. Like, let's use a very basic example. Okay. Team peanut butter over here, right? I love peanut butter. So I rarely have groceries. Okay. Fun fact about me. Because I be working all the time, right? So somebody just blessed me with somebody who gonna bring me my groceries, okay? And so sometimes, and this happened like the other day, all right? Don't judge me. I just eat peanut butter and crackers for dinner, all right? Because that's all I got. And so this happened the other day. And so I was like, boom. And I get excited about it. Let's be clear about this. It's not like, woe is me. I have to eat peanut butter and crackers. I'd be like, ooh, peanut butter and crackers for dinner. Let's go. Right? So I'd be geeked, right? So the other day I had to eat peanut butter and crackers for dinner, right? And so I got my crackers, I got my peanut butter. So I love peanut butter, right? And sometimes I don't even have the crackers. I'll just eat a couple spoonfuls of peanut butter because God is real. And so the other day I'm like pulling my peanut butter out of the cabinet, right? And I was just thinking about how something as simple as peanut butter, people will be getting loads of excess sodium and sugar and oil from if they didn't read the label. Because for most of us, we already know that peanut butter is vegan. And so if you're moving to a plant-based lifestyle, for example, you will probably keep the peanut butter that's in your cupboard right now. That's not something you would throw out because you're like, it doesn't have any animal products in it. But what does it have in it that's disease promoting that you still need to watch? Salt, oil, and sugar. So if you buy the wrong peanut butter, it's going to have palm oil on it. And that's a ton of saturated fat that clogs your arteries. It is going to have sugar in it. And now we're getting into dehydration, neuropathy, brain fog, memory loss, feeding cancer cells. And then it's going to have a bunch of sodium in it. So now we're putting ourselves at risk for chronic diseases like hypertension, water retention, all of these things, right? But it's vegan. And so you have to audit your kitchen. If this was day one of my plant-based diet, the second thing I would do a kitchen audit and make sure everything is clean, even if it is technically already vegan. And then the second thing I would do here in step two is log my food. Why? Because you guys would be surprised. You've been eating the way you've been eating for so long that a lot of your behaviors are super passive. Like a lot of your behaviors you don't think about. Like you probably on your animal-based diet, a lot of things is just like, you just do it naturally. You don't think about it. It's not mindful eating. What happens when you start logging your food, at least for the first 3 months on a plant-based diet, is you get to see in real time your habits and your practices that you had no idea you did. Like when our students start logging their food and farm to table, y'all, they're just like, yo, I didn't know I drank this much coffee. I didn't know I ate this much sugar. I didn't know I ate so much processed and convenience foods until I started logging it and paying attention to my daily habits and my daily practices. So just to get to know myself better and my eating practices better, I would actually log from day one. Not the entire time, it's not necessary, but you'll be surprised how many things you consume or how many things you don't consume. Like a lot of times when our students start logging, they start learning about themselves like, yo, I thought I ate way more fiber. I don't. Like I'm barely getting in, you know, 10 grams a day when we're supposed to be consuming 30. And so they get a lot of interesting facts about their own personal behaviors. Because when you're trying to reach a goal, especially a health goal, and you're taking a nutritional approach to it, like you got to be tuned in. You got to know everything you do, everything you don't do, so you can fill in the gaps and making sure that you're moving the needle in the right direction for yourself. So that is number two. That's the second thing I would do if today was to day one of my plant-based lifestyle is I will unprocess my diet by doing a kitchen audit and getting rid of things that are disease promoting, even if they're vegan. And then I would also start logging from day one to make sure I learn my own eating habits because right now they're probably on autopilot and it's not anything that you think about intentionally. Okay. How many of y'all going plant-based for the start of the year? Let me know. I know a lot of y'all doing the Daniel fast and all of that stuff and starting to remove all these animal products. So I want to make sure you guys are set up for success because this lifestyle is super powerful if you do it right. Now, this third one is a big one, y'all. Okay. Woo. It took me years to stop doing this after I became vegan. The third thing I would do if today was day one of my plant-based lifestyle is I would go cold turkey on sugar. I would go cold turkey getting rid of refined processed sugar. Don't y'all come in these comments talking about fruit. Ain't nobody talking about fruit. You know doggone well I ain't talking about a cantaloupe. Like, don't play with me. I'm talking about your cookie habit, your soda habit, your junk food habit. I will go cold turkey on sugar if today was day one of my vegan lifestyle. Yes, sugar is technically vegan, right? Well, and technically not too. Like you might have some vegans in the comments like, well, technically they use animal bones to whiten the sugar. I know that. All right. But I'm talking about in general, there's types of sugar that you can use that are vegan, right? That they're coconut sugar in our, you know, our raw sugar, Lisa. But what about brown sugar, Lisa? It's all crap. It's all disease promoting. There is no clean, refined sugar. All right. There are natural sugars like a maple syrup or agave. I don't consume those either, by the way, because their glycemic index is still high and they still compromise executive functioning. We'll talk about that later. That'll be another episode. But the thing I would do, the third thing I would do if this was day one of my plant-based lifestyle is I would go cold turkey on refined processed sugar. You want to know why? The reason I will go cold turkey on sugar instead of slowly reducing it is because moderation takes more effort than abstinence. I'm going to say it again. Moderation takes more effort than abstinence. I need you guys to understand this. So first of all, you can be addicted to food. Let me just say that. Food is a substance that you can be addicted to. Like, I want you guys to understand this. It is not like, oh, everybody has to eat. There's no way to be addicted to food. 100%. Not only can you be addicted to food, addiction is engineered into the food. We'll get into the science later, but there are chemists who are paid good money to sit in a lab all day to formulate the perfect formula to make sure you get addicted to their product. Okay, you can be addicted to food. And sugar is one of the most addictive substance out there. Now, the reason you have to go cold turkey on it is because you cannot moderate an addiction, people. It is impossible to moderate something you're addicted to. Okay? And so if this was day one for me on my plant-based lifestyle, yes, I'm giving up meat, eggs, dairy, and seafood. But the thing that really changed the game for my life, for my mind, for my body, since being vegan, is when I let go of all of the sugar. And I would not moderate it because you can't moderate an addiction and it takes more effort and energy to moderate than it does to just practice abstinence. Not only that, you have to get the dependency on the substance out of your system. If you're still consuming just a little bit of it, you're not going to completely get rid of the cravings, get rid of your body's response to it. If you want to get rid of all of that mess and take your power back from sugar, abstinence is the way to go. I waited years into my vegan journey before I got rid of sugar and it's like my life changed. How did my life change? Okay. So I'm really brilliant. Okay. Let me just own that publicly. All right. Say less. You know what I'm saying? So I'm really, really, really good at creating like curriculum. I'm really good at creating content, ideas, messaging. I'm a speaker for a living, right? And so like my talks, my lectures, like I do monthly masterclasses where I'm teaching and they land, they hit. And I have to create that. I have to figure out how to put that together. I have to figure out all the examples I'm going to use, the analogies, the storytelling, you know, my slides. I have to pull out lessons. Well, like the title of this video, right? The four things you must do before you start your plant-based journey. I was like, what are four things that I need people to do if it was day one of their plant-based lifestyle? Like I think of topics like this all the time and they are really, really good. Like they resonate with people and not because I think they good. I'm basing it on y'all feedback. Like, yo, this the one. Like I hear that all the time. This the one, right? I go on other people's platforms and I talk and I share and I teach, right? And I have to create that stuff in my mind all the time. When I gave up sugar, all of my content, all of my creation, all of my intellectual property went up 1,000%. Why? Because I no longer have brain fog, right? I have complete creativity. I have complete access to my mind. Like when I'm trying to access information, I can reach it. Does that make sense? Like y'all ever try and like create something in your mind and it's like, it's just not vibing. Like you like, I got part of it. I don't have all of it. It's not coming together. I'm trying to piecemeal my ideals together. They may or may not be coming together. Like my stuff comes together now on a sugar-free brain. Like I have recall, I have concentration, I have creativity. Like I'm about to make up a phrase that I don't even know if it makes sense, but let's do it. You know, let's throw out this thing out. Creative sovereignty. I don't know if that, creative sovereignty, I don't know, it's just resonating in my spirit right now, right? Like I have complete control over my creativity, right? And it feels amazing. And if I had known that my brain would operate like this, the way it does today, when I first went vegan, I would have gave up sugar from day one. Because getting rid of the animal products, that's getting rid of all of the mucus creating foods because your brain is very vascular. And so the way getting rid of animal products helps your brain is like all of the little blood vessels, all of the vessels that are leading up to your brain and are meant to feed sustenance to your brain, they are now dilated. Like the blood can flow beautifully because you're not eating high amounts of saturated fat and cholesterol that clogs arteries, even the arteries that lead to the brain, right? But then, so you got that going for you. So your brain is going to work better just off animals, period. But then when you go 10 steps further and you're like, no sugar, no processed junk, none of all of that excess oil, your brain just explodes. Like divine downloads wake me up out of my sleep. And I'd be like, oh, got to write this. Y'all should see that the notes app in my phone. This is about to sound so dark, but this is my sense of humor. If anybody ever catch me in a dark alley and you want to rob me, don't go for my purse. Don't go for my wallet. Go for my phone and the notes app. That's where you're going to find a gold mine. All of my ideas, everything we're about to do to take this company to the next level, like all of my curriculum, like if you ever see me on the street in a dark alley and you're trying to get me, don't take my purse, take my phone. Because my notes app, oh my God, the ideas be flowing so crazy because I don't have no sugar on my brain. So I'll be like, oh, I'm going to kill him with this next week. Oh, I'm going to kill him with this next month. Like my topics, I'm like, oh, whoever booked me for their podcast next, oh, it's going up. Like, the notes app on my phone is where all the money is, if you ever. Anyway, so that's number three, right? That's number three. I would go cold turkey on the sugar from day one so I can get full access to my executive functioning, to my mental capability, to all of my intelligence and all of my creativity, sleeping better, better in control of my emotions, better in control of my thoughts and how I articulate them, right? So it can come up in my head and it can also come out clear through my mouth, right? So you know how you have thoughts in your head, they get jumbled sometimes, and sometimes we can't get it all out properly, right? I can articulate better. I can articulate better. So it's a game changer. All right, let's get into number four. Hold on, we got a question on IG. Hey, pardon the interruption, but I really need your help. Listen, here are the facts. Nearly half of all Americans have cardiovascular disease. Approximately 75% of Americans are considered overweight or obese. 6 out of 10 Americans are battling a chronic disease, and 4 out of 10 have 2 or more. And these chronic diseases include things such as heart disease, cancer, diabetes, stroke, and Alzheimer's. Listen, what we know to be true is that a whole food plant-based protocol is one of the most effective dietary approaches to combating these chronic health challenges. And I am committed and dedicated to doing everything I can to helping individuals adopt a whole food plant-based protocol to either prevent or arrest and combat these chronic health challenges. But I need your help to do so. Listen, we just opened up enrollment again for the Plant Protocol Plant-Based Coaching Certification. As you know, this is my plant-based coaching certification where I help coaches and health professionals just like yourself to master plant-based and lifestyle science, to master the art of coaching, and to master business acumen to make sure you have all the tools necessary to create, sustain, and grow a health coaching business. If you've been listening here for a while, you're more than likely wondering if you can do it. And I'm here to tell you, you can. All you have to do is click the link in the show notes to apply for the plant protocol. We're enrolling for just a few days, and I would love to have you join me on this mission to help individuals live a higher quality of life for as long as they can. Thank you, and I'll talk to you soon. The Crochet Star, hey, says, is Farm to Table still available? Absolutely, Farm to Table is still available. So Farm to Table is our plant-based coaching program at my coaching company, The Plant Protocol. And you have my email. You took Farm to Table before, right? Okay, so email me, hello@lisaangelsmith.com. You're welcome. All right, so let's get into number four. The final thing I would do if I was starting my plant-based journey from day one is I would curate my environment. I would curate my environment. So in the last step, step three, I talked about addiction. And I talked about how if you're addicted to something, and I don't care what it is, it could be food, it could be a drug, it could be alcohol, it could be TV, it could be pornography. I don't care what you're addicted to, right? When you're addicted to something, you can't moderate it. And abstinence is the only way to get rid of it. But the other thing that's really important when you're trying to beat or fight an addiction is community and environment. So one of the things that Alcoholics Anonymous knows, like I read Alcoholics Anonymous book, like I wanted to figure out how they've had such success with a program like that, that's completely free. And I just wanted to understand their structure better. So I read this book all about how Alcoholics Anonymous set everything up to help people beat alcoholism, right? And one of the things we know about addiction is that one of the quickest ways for a person to relapse is that they go back into the environment where the same people, the same triggers, the same behaviors. And so when you are trying to beat an addiction, when you have an affinity to anything, a drug, a behavior, whatever it is, you have to change your environment to be successful. You have to. And I want you guys to understand that when it comes to food, one of the biggest mistakes I made at the beginning of my plant-based journey, my vegan journey, is literally assuming, I told y'all I was brilliant, but I outsmarted myself on this one, is assuming that I could DIY the whole situation, that I could do it myself, right? I assume like all you got to do is not eat meat. Why would I need help with that? I don't need a coach. I don't need a community. I don't need a course. I don't need a class. I don't need to read anything. Just don't eat chicken. Like, how hard could it be? Sis, it's a whole bunch of stuff you're not supposed to eat. There's a whole bunch of stuff you should be eating. There's a whole bunch of nuances you don't know and understand. And most importantly, though, you need support of a community of people who are doing the exact same thing instead of going back to your same environment where you're going to be triggered to eat the mess that you were used to eating, right? And so I would curate my environment so that I had the support of a community, ideally a coach, right? Maybe even at least get a course or something. The reason it took me so long to give up sugar into my vegan lifestyle is because I just thought as long as it was vegan, it was good to go. So I'm like, yeah, vegan cookies. Yeah, vegan carrot cake. I can drink soda, is vegan. Oh my God. Right? Like I'm already doing the thing, which is not eating animals. And so what more can anybody tell me? So much more. I told you guys, I was like taking a protein powder every day. I've been vegan for 8-9 years now. I do not take a protein powder. I do not take a multivitamin. Like I don't need the supplements because my blood work, back to step one, my blood work shows all my levels are good. There's no need to supplement, but I thought I had to, right? And so I would definitely get in a space with someone who could teach me things and also like challenge my limiting beliefs about the lifestyle, right? You have to have somebody who is going to challenge your limiting beliefs because you're going to come in with all of these assumptions. Oh, I must have to cook all my meals from scratch. Oh, I'm going to need a supplement. Oh, I can eat, you know, all of the things as long as it's vegan, it doesn't matter, right? Like you're going to come in with so many limiting beliefs. Like, oh, I'm going to be eating too many carbs and I'm going to gain weight. All of the rice, all of the potatoes, like so many limiting beliefs. And if you have nobody to run them by, to give you a second opinion, to challenge them, you're going to make a ton of mistakes like I did for years. And then you're going to nail it and then you're going to feel amazing and then it's going to be all good. But you don't want to do that, right? You want to be able to nail it from day one, right? Sandy on Facebook said, yes, the like-mindedness is a big help. It really is. It truly is. And so those are the four things I would do if today was day one of my plant-based lifestyle. Let's review, boys and girls. Thank you for coming to my channel. Okay, so number one, if today was day one of this amazing lifestyle that has changed my life, changed my company, changed my career, I would, number one, get blood work from day one, and then I would schedule it again for 3 months out so that I don't allow the limiting belief that I'm going to automatically be deficient in something dictate my behavior. Because when you do that, you run out, you're like, let me get all of the sea moss. Let me get all of the multivitamins. Let me get all of the, you know, even if it's a natural supplement like sea moss, you just assume I need all of these things. Oh, I'm going to be low in, you know, omega-3s. I'm going to be low in zinc. I'm going to be low in protein. I'm going to be low. It's like, says who? And furthermore, where's the data? Where's the data? Okay. So blood work today plus schedule 3 months out, so that I could deprogram and just not make up stories about what I'm going to become, but I could separate fact from feeling. Okay. You feel one way, but what does the data show? Okay. The second thing I would do is do a major kitchen audit, making sure I'm reading the labels on everything and not assuming because it's absence of animal products that it's a health item. Kind of the example I used about the peanut butter, right? And I will log my food from day one because my eating has been on autopilot for so long. I actually don't know what my true habits are. I actually don't know everything that I do and everything that I don't do, even though I eat every day. And so to learn my own eating habits better, I will log my food from day one for a certain amount of time to look at all of my behaviors and be clear, like, oh, I didn't know I had to have sugar every day at 3 in the afternoon, right? I didn't know I wasn't drinking enough water. I didn't know I wasn't eating enough fiber. I thought I was super healthy on my salmon and chicken diet with no beef and pork, right? Y'all swear not eating beef and pork is it. No, chicken and turkey. Yeah, that promotes heart attacks too. Anyway, so that's the thing I would do second. The third thing I would do is I would do no sugar from day one, cold turkey. I would not try and moderate an addiction. Moderation requires more energy and effort than abstinence does, because every week or every day, you are typically changing the definition of moderation to fit your desires. That's the issue with moderation. The issue with moderation is that it is not a definitive number. That is why I am anti-moderation. Across all of my programs at my company, we do not promote moderation. Can I have a little bit, Lisa? Can I have a little bit on the weekend? It's my birthday. It's the holidays. I've been doing good for so long, I deserve it. No, you don't. There is no situation in which you deserve to eat something that's disease promoting. Shut up. Okay. And so we don't use moderation in my coaching company. Okay. None of our programs do we promote or do we approve of moderation. Okay. Everything in moderation is not a flex. It's a problem. It's your way of trying to give yourself an excuse to do and undo, should I say, all of the hard work that you've done, but also to make yourself feel good about not making a firm decision. Moderation is not a real number. So moderation for me might be once a year. Moderation for you might be once a week. Like, what is moderation? Okay. So stop it. So do the hard work of going through detox and withdrawals and getting over your dependence on a substance versus trying to tell yourself you're going to have a little bit every now and then, and you change the definition of moderation every week, depending on how you're feeling. Insane. Okay. And then the fourth thing I would do if this was day one of my plant-based lifestyle is I would curate my environment with a coach or somebody who knows more than me about nutrition science, lifestyle science. I would also make sure I'm in a community, because one of the quickest ways to relapse is to go back to an environment that where you engaged in the same behaviors that you're trying to get away from. So those are the four things I would do if today was day one, y'all. I hope this was helpful. Share it with somebody who needs to hear it. A lot of you guys are really interested in at least being more plant-centered. A lot of you guys are interested in really trying this thing out, even if it's for a short period of time. So even if you're doing it for a limited amount of time, like some of you guys are going to go into the Daniel fast soon with your place of worship, or maybe doing it on your own. And the Daniel fast ain't nothing but a whole food, plant-based vegan lifestyle. I don't know why we only do it for 40 days. But if you're moving into that space, I need y'all to watch this. I need y'all to understand the mistakes that people make, because the thing I really want to happen for you is that you get all of the benefits from living this lifestyle. Like, I need you to feel as good as you can. Did you guys know that most people go the majority of their adult life and they never get introduced to the most optimal version of themselves? Like, at some point, you know, past your 20s, you start declining, and then people just keep declining. Like, it's wild. Did you know that your biological age and your chronological age are two different numbers? And if you take control right now, your chronological age can be high, but your biological age can be low. So you could be 40, you could be 50, you could be 60 chronologically, but biologically, baby, you can be 20, you can be 30, you can be 40. Did you know that's how you age in reverse? Like right now, like y'all can't even tell. I'm really 72, like straight up, no cap. Right. You don't even know. Like I was sprinting on the Stairmaster the other day. Like, Lisa, you really out here in shape. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was really feeling myself. Like, you really out here getting it, aging in reverse. Keep going. Right. Cheekbones popping, skin popping. You happy? You fulfilled? I promise you. Matter of fact, let's end here. Let me give y'all a bonus one while I'm off on a tangent, because y'all know how I do. Let me give you a bonus one, a fifth thing I would do if today was day one of my plant-based journey. Okay. Since y'all stuck with me through my tangent, let me give y'all a bonus. The bonus is I would look at every area of my life that is not optimal, and I would dedicate every waking minute to getting it optimal. Specifically, the bucket I would start with is my career. I would start with making sure if there's anything in what I do for a living that does not bring me joy, I would sit down and create an exit strategy for getting out of that undesirable circumstance. And I would create an enter strategy for moving into the direction I want to move in. Let me tell you guys something. For those of you who are interested in adopting a whole food plant-based vegan lifestyle for health reasons, plants heal, water heals, exercise heals. But what most people don't focus enough on is that purpose heals. What you're watching me or listening to me do right now is be fully on and in flow in my purpose. I could sit on this mic and spit to y'all all day. This is what I do. I'm in purpose. I'm in flow. And if you do not have that in your life, you have to find it quickly, because there is not a kale. There is not a fruit. There is not a vegetable. There is not a seed. There is not a nut that is going to give you the healing that you get when you are living and walking in your purpose. So let me tell you something. If you are waking up every day and doing something you cannot stand for 40 plus hours a week, that is where you need to start with your health. Your work does not need to start in the kitchen. It needs to start in the office. Purpose heals. When you find that thing that you were born for, that you were born to do, what did Mark Twain say? The two most important days in our life, the day we were born and the day we find out why. When you lean into that, that is when things will start to change in your body, in your mind. Everything will change. Joy and happiness will flow from you and through you. You will be a conduit for health and healing and wholeness for other people, right? And so the person you're listening to right now is not just a result of what I eat and what I don't eat, but it's because I have surrendered, right? Radical obedience. I have surrendered to what I've been called to do. And I am living and walking in that and honoring that every single day. Purpose heals. Okay? Okay. I had to say that slow. But that's it. Those are my 4+1 steps if I was starting my plant-based vegan lifestyle today. Please pass this to somebody who needs to hear it, who is really trying to live this lifestyle at a high level, especially, listen to me, especially if they're doing it for health reasons. Some people adopt this lifestyle for compassion reasons, like they just like the animals, the earth, the environment. That's cool. But for those of you, especially people of color, who are doing this for health reasons, at least I need to lose weight, at least I need to get this blood pressure down, at least I need to get this cholesterol down, at least my kidneys failing, at least autoimmune disease, at least cancer, at least fibroids, reproductive health, Lisa, anxiety, depression. Lisa, help me. I know it's my diet. I know it's my diet. I don't feel well. Chronic fatigue. Lisa, help me. It's the diet. Send this to them. Send this to them so they can understand how they should be setting up their lifestyle from day one. And then a couple of weeks ago, the first Monday in 2024, I did a live called The 4 Biggest Mistakes People Make on a Plant-Based Diet. That one plus this one will get y'all together. Okay. That live plus this live will get y'all together. Okay. So hope this was helpful. I'm going to sign off now because I get really excited. So let me go back to work. I will see you guys next Monday, same time, same place. I'm here every Monday morning slanging these plants. Okay. We're either talking business, plant-based business, or plant-based health. Either way, y'all need to be back here if this has served you guys. And you guys have an absolutely phenomenal day. Bye, y'all. You tuned in today because, like me, you're a disruptor. You're passionate about health and you have firsthand experience of taking a whole food plant-based approach to combating chronic health challenges. You want to see lifestyle and dietary modifications become the norm in the way in which we practice healthcare. However, you need mastery around nutrition and lifestyle science, a better understanding of behavior change to improve client compliance, and confidence in your ability to effectively coach clients to adopting those lifestyle modifications. You need the Plant Protocol. Visit theplantprotocol.com to apply, and let's work together to improve the way in which we care for our most prized possession, our health. Thank you so much for listening today. If you enjoyed what you heard, please consider rating and reviewing this podcast. Until next time, remember, radical obedience is still undefeated. Stay obedient.